You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you two are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about maybe planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you don't know your swan from your dolphin, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, we talk to a former cast member from Hollywood Studios, Florence, who's got a great tip for something we should be eating next time we go to Orlando.
I can't even describe them. I don't know what butter or salt or, you know, probably all of the bad stuff they put in. They are next level.
Sounds very healthy. Also, we're going to be catching up with any of your Walt Disney World questions. We'll get you a top tip of the week, and we're looking for your advice on what we should be watching on Disney Plus. Make sure you keep in touch as well. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out the socials. We are at Pod Magical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. If you've got any planning questions or rearranging questions, anything that maybe I could help you with, just a little bit of advice. Remember, I'm not a travel agent. I'm not a travel professional. I'm just a Walt Disney World fan. But I'll do my best to help you. Do send your questions over Pod Magical. Make sure you've given us a like and a follow. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical. Just send me a message. Any questions you might have. A lot of them are around rearranging trips. Most people now are looking at probably going next year. One theme that has come through on most of the questions that I've been getting is people have been getting quotes to rearrange their holidays, and it's coming back for the same holiday, something a lot more expensive. Steve, for example, who was going to be going this spring, I think Steve's trip actually passed now, but it's looking at going next September. We did have the dining plan. Even without the dining plan, it's going to be a little bit more expensive. So is it worth adding the dining plan is a question that Steve asks. Something I've actually talked about on the podcast quite a few times. The dining plan is great when it's free. If you've done the maths and it really is a free dining plan, then that's brilliant. But ask yourself this. If you've been on the dining plan, you know how much food there is. So if you pay for the dining plan, are you realistically going to eat that much food? Just think of the amount of food you get when you get the free dining plan. Yeah, you eat it because it's free. And so you feel like you're winning. But if you paid for that, would you actually pay for that amount of food? And have a look at how much it is to add on the dining plan. And if you've been to Walt Disney World before, just think, well, would I realistically spend that on food? Yeah, it's great to have a massive Starbucks at the beginning of every day. But realistically, if I was paying out of pocket on a daily basis, would I normally have that? I know it's really difficult at the minute if you are trying to rearrange and things are going to be a bit more expensive. Similarly, Joan wants to know about staying off property, looking to rearrange her holiday for next year. We're probably going to have to stay away from Disney, looking at the prices. What's the next best thing to staying at Disney? Again, you're looking at somewhere that's probably got free transportation to Disney. A lot of hotels will run free shuttle buses. They're only once or twice a day. And they're not like the buses that Disney hotels provide. You know, if you go into the Magic Kingdom on the free Disney shuttle bus, then that bus takes you right up to the gates of the Magic Kingdom. Other hotels outside Disney that run the free shuttle buses, they'll drop you off where you then get on the ferry or the monorail to bring you into the Magic Kingdom. Look at maybe the prices of some of the Disney Springs hotels, the Good Neighbor hotels at Disney Springs. They are right on the doorstep to Disney Springs. You can literally walk across the road to Disney Springs, which is quite a nice thing. If you like that feeling of still being in the Disney bubble, maybe staying at Disney Springs so you know you can walk over and, you know, you can go to get a Dole Whip or just chill around Disney Springs for a few times. They also have usually free transportation to the Disney parks. And then again, if you want to get from the parks over to your hotel, you can get one of the Disney Springs buses. Don't forget, Disney Springs buses go from the parks to Disney Springs, but you cannot get the free bus from Disney Springs to the parks. But if you stay in a good neighbor hotel, if you are staying there, then sometimes, most of the times actually, they will put that free transportation on. It's a lot to take in, but, you know, do the maths. Don't go crazy. If you can't afford it, don't push the boat out. I know times are hard, but we all want to go and get that little bit of Disney magic. If you have got any tips of your own, maybe you have rebooked a holiday recently. What have you found to be the better options? Is there a good time to go? Is there a good place to go? Do let me know. I'd love to share any tips that you've had with everybody else for the podcast. Let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical is where we are, which is the same place to go if you want just half an hour of escapism and talk about Walt Disney World like this week's guest. Time to chat to this week's podcast guest. Remember, we've got a brand new podcast guest every Friday with different memories. And this week's guest used to work for Mickey Mouse, former cast member at Walt Disney World. So tell me, I'm going to ask the question we always start with. What do you love about Walt Disney World, Florence?
It's like, I think it's the only answer that you'll ever get. But for me, it's just like absolute pure escapism. You just go there and everything's clean, everything's easy. They've thought of everything. So that's the best thing about it. It's just pure escapism. It's just for that week or 2 weeks, however long. You don't need to worry about anything else. Everything's taken care of. It's just the best.
And like last week's guest, you're also a former Disney employee.
In fact,
you worked at Walt Disney World.
I did. I worked at Hollywood Studios. I was a cast member back in 2012. I did the college program over a summer between uni. And I worked in Hollywood Studios in an area that we called Backlands. So that was sort of the back part of the park. So I did Tatooine Traders. I did Muppets Courtyard. I did Indiana Jones, which was, this is spoiler, but the worst spot because
why is that? Why?
You only ever got people in the store when the show let out. So for the rest of the time, there was just no one, and you're just sort of tidying the whips the 10th time. So that was that. But yeah, it was so much fun. So much fun.
So what made you want to do that then after finishing uni?
Well, it was in between. So it was in between my first and second year.
Okay.
It had to be that way for sort of boring visa reasons. Well, basically, I had used to live in Florida as a kid. So I used to have a really strong American accent. We left when I was quite young, and I'd gone back on holiday with my mum when I was 16 and then again when I was 18. And as we were kind of walking around the parks and stuff, and everyone's got their name tag on, and I just saw like a few people who were like, you know, it said sort of like, oh, so-and-so from Croydon or so-and-so from Manchester. And I was kind of thinking like, well, there must be a way to do it. Like it can't, you know, if all these people can do it, like there must be a way that it's done, you know? So when I got home, I basically just Googled like mad and found out sort of about the college program and how you applied. And it was sort of a lengthy application, but it was really straightforward. I applied to go, started up my application in the February, and then I went in the June. So, you know, quite however many months that is. It was just so much fun. 3 months of just utter like immersion in everything Disney. It was so much fun.
And was it as you expected, or did it kind of ruin the magic a little bit? The fact that you were behind the scenes and
to one of your episodes from a little while ago, and I think you said it actually, and I really agreed. It just made you really appreciate and understand how such a massive organization actually runs on a day-to-day. It definitely didn't ruin the magic. I mean, if anything, they actively try and make sure that you still keep the magic. This is one of the most amazing things. Is you would think, oh, you know, you go backstage and it's all dirty and messy and, you know, not magical at all. But for instance, when you get your name tags, Mickey gives them to you, and everyone knows. Yeah, and everybody's sat there, and we've just been trained on your health and safety and all this kind of really boring stuff, and then he comes in and everyone's still like, oh my god,
you know,
how did they do that? How have they done that? It just makes you really appreciate and understand like, oh, that's how an enormous organization can run on a day-to-day. And there's loads of little perks and treats and stuff that you get, which are super, super fun.
I suppose they need to keep the magic alive for cast members so that you can pass that on to guests.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And do you see a lot of Mickey Mouse? Is he like, you know, if you've got a staff appraisal, you've got to go and see Mickey? Or if you're in trouble, Mickey needs to see you? No. Or does he hand that down to Minnie or something?
Yeah, exactly. He passes that down to down the ranks. No, nothing like that. But okay, so this is one of the more surreal moments. So I don't know if it's still there, actually, but it was when I was working there, part of Muppet's Courtyard was Phineas and Ferb, when that was all, you know, super popular. And I was walking, you know, backstage, as they call it, and I was going through one of the gates to get into the store that I was working in, and as I was walking past, like, Phineas and Ferb, you know, fully costumed up, you know, with all their sort of headgear on and all the rest of it, they were just stood there. And I don't know if this will ruin the magic, but I don't think it will. It's just like a fun fact that
your ears if you've got kids, fast forward this bit.
The people in the costumes, like, they did you're determined if you get into a costume based on your height, so based on nothing else. So what that means is, like, Mickey could be a female, or, like, Minnie could be a male, like, and it, you know, because it's just based on your height. So I was walking through and Phineas and Ferb are there, and they're obviously, like, supposed to be two young lads, like, you know, as characters. And and I was like, oh, sorry, can I just get past? And from inside, Phineas, or whichever one of them, was just like, oh, no worries, that's fine. Like, this woman's voice. And I was like, this is so surreal.
A little bit odd.
Yeah, really strange.
So growing up in Florida, you must have gone when you were really young, and you must have gone a lot. That's what I assume people in Florida do.
Time. So we lived in a small town called Sarasota. So I think it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. So really not far. Because we were super young, I have very, like, few memories. The one memory I do have is we'd gone, I think we'd obviously must have gone for a weekend because we were staying in a sort of motel. And I just remember the heavens opened, and classic sort of Florida torrential rain came down sort of one of the afternoons. And I just remember squelching back to the motel, and, like, my mum making us leave our shoes outside because they were so wet. I don't actually have so many memories, like, from when I was that young, but it was more from when I was older and I went back.
So let's talk about stuff that you like at Walt Disney World. Well, let's go for the attraction first. Either as a recent guest or as a cast member, is it one attraction that you love more than anything else?
Oh, so I actually wrote down some answers to this, because I have kind of, like, what I would say is, like, so, like, the popular answer, I suppose. And then I have the ones that I love just because I love them so much, even though they're so random. So, like, I have a real soft spot for the Carousel of Progress and the Hall of Presidents.
Classics. Like, the classics.
I would never recommend anyone to actually go to them if they had one day in Magic Kingdom. I would never be like, drop everything and hit the hall.
But unless, like, it's raining.
Yeah, unless really hot and you needed some aircon.
Yeah, or really busy.
Yeah, but I do have a real soft spot for them because they're just so random and I just absolutely love them. If I was to pick, like, a favorite ride, like, for me, the classic sort of archetypal one is Peter Pan. I've done it every time I've gone. My mum always cries on it. She gets really emotional. It's just super cute. I just love that one.
And what about when you go now, being in the UK, when you go back, do you stay on site? Do you stay on property, or do you prefer to stay off site and travel in?
I prefer to stay on site, on property, mostly because of the, like, sort of total immersion thing, in the sense that I don't drive, really, if I'm out there. I would have no problem doing that. I just haven't, sort of historically. But I just really love the hotels, you know, the theming that runs through them all, you know, and all the little perks you get, like the package pickup and the shuttle buses and stuff. So I prefer to do that. But if I'm hoping to go again next year, you know, open to considering sort of like a villa or something, or, you know, a hotel offsite as well, because I've, like, heard really good things about those as well. But yeah.
Do you actually have a favourite Disney hotel?
I've never actually stayed here, but one can dream. The Grand Floridian. Just dreamy. Where I've stayed more recently, and I actually was only there for two nights when my parents came out to visit when I was working. Because of being a cast member, I managed to get them, like, a sort of semi-good rate on the Yacht and Beach Club. And that was really special. Just really, really something else.
And really handy for Epcot as well. The fact that you can just walk out of your room into Epcot.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
We've got some more of your tips very soon. I know you've got some tips as a former cast member that you can let us in on. And also, I want to find out this thing that you like to eat. Florence is with us on the podcast this week. And if you want a little bit of a break from planning your next Disney holiday, why not find another podcast to listen to as part of the Secret Recordings Network? For example, I secretly recorded my boyfriend, which is, well, it's as the name suggests, Joe secretly records the weird and wonderful things that a boyfriend gets up to, his observations around the world. And there is even an episode recorded in Florida. Yes, they went to Walt Disney World and Jo secretly recorded her boyfriend. Find out what he had to say, particularly about the Florida heat. Search I Secretly Recorded My Boyfriend from wherever you get your podcasts if you want to fill your time with a little bit more podcast fun from the Secret Recordings Network. And also, if you're filling your time with watching Disney Plus, I would love every week to get your recommendation of the week. Now, there's some great things on Disney Plus. Yes, we've been watching The Imagineering Story. We've been watching Mandalorian and High School Musical, the musical, the series. But have you found anything on Disney Plus that's a little bit of a secret gem? Just a brilliant film or a TV show that maybe we haven't been talking about or nobody's talking about? What have you found? Maybe it's something that's brought back memories from you as a kid. Maybe it's something that makes you think of something at the parks. Every week on the podcast, we will do our Disney Plus recommendation of the week, and maybe we can all watch it together. So let me know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, send me a message with your Disney Plus recommendations. We are at Pod Magical, which is also the same place to go if you fancy talking about Walt Disney World, if you want to be a podcast guest like this week's guest, Florence, who used to be a cast member over at Hollywood Studios and has got a great recommendation now of something we should be eating. Go on now, tell us what it is.
So I actually wrote this down, and this is going to be controversial, but if you haven't been, please put this on your list. Earl of Sandwich in Disney Springs.
Now, I have heard about the Christmas sandwich.
Oh, like,
is this the thing that you would eat in Earl of Sandwich?
They also have a meatball sub, and it is next level. So when I was there, I had some Australian friends who worked there as well, and they'd been there maybe 6 months longer before we had got there, and they were saying, oh my god, we have to go to Earl of Sandwich, I can't believe you've not been yet. So we all went to Disney Springs sort of one evening, and we got these sandwiches, and I can't even describe them. I don't know what butter or salt or, you know, probably all of the bad stuff they put in. They are next level. Highly, highly recommend those.
As a cast member, did you pick up any tips that you have found useful going back as a guest?
So when I was there again, I'm not so sure if so I actually went back most recently in 2016, but I'm not quite sure if this still happens. There used to be a sort of spike in early June, and it would tail off to in mid-July, where there would be loads and loads and loads of tour groups, mostly from Brazil, and there'd just be like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in these tour groups, and they would really like take over hotels and stuff like that, and conferences and all that kind of stuff would happen in that time. So if you need to go in school holidays, like, try and go sort of towards the end of July. I guess that was one tip that I picked up, because the parks just, you could actively see sort of like the numbers of people coming in drop by that, by sort of just after that, at that time.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that was one tip. I mean, it was only sort of like a week or so, but it was just this like sweet spot between, like, I guess the next lot of holiday makers.
Yeah.
So you can obviously, as I'm sure lots of your listeners and you know, you can just go and walk around a lot of the hotels, and especially the premium hotels are really something else, like, in and of themselves. So my top tip is, if you want to watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks, leave Magic Kingdom and get the monorail over to the Polynesian. Then get off at the Polynesian and go all the way down. They have a quick service restaurant, like, right in the bottom of the hotel, and you can just go there and buy a drink, or they've got really nice sort of pineapple ice cream and stuff like that.
Oh, they've got the Dole Whip there.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So you can just go and get a snack or something, and then if you walk out, you can go past the pool, and then they have a man-made beach just right on the lakefront. And if you sit there, you have an absolutely stunning view of the fireworks on the beach, and there's no one around, and it's just blissful.
I love it though. I've done that a few times.
Yeah.
In fact, the even better time to do it when there's a party on. So when a Halloween or Christmas party,
yeah,
which you've got to pay for, so you can't get in the parks anyway, but because there's even more fireworks and wider.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
And you can catch the water pageant as well.
Yeah,
the electrical water pageant.
Exactly.
Just before it. Outside Walt Disney World, did you find anything different or quirky or new in Orlando that was good?
The main thing that we found that was quite funny was sort of all of the discount outlet centers for like merch and the designer outlets as well. They had amazing merch that you could just get on massive discount, which was great, because obviously when you're there for sort of 3 months, all of your friends and family are saying like, oh, can we have a pair of mini ears? And I'm like, they're $29.
Yeah, like, no, you can't. How much do you think I get paid?
So yeah, exactly. So when, you know, they've got them there for sort of like $6 and $7 and stuff, they're different, but it's just as good for sort of your friends and stuff like that. If you went out, if you had a car, there's all of these sort of merchandise shops and things like that.
And did you venture over to Universal? Or does Mickey not let you? Because you'll have like spies going, no. Chip and Dale are on her. She's back. She's been Universal again.
No, I definitely do. Actually, a friend of mine that I was out there with is a massive Harry Potter fan. And I remember we went on our day off to Harry Potter World. And she just was like, I'm so excited. I'm going to cry. I was like, don't do that. We're not in yet.
Please don't.
We got a 3-hour wait. I definitely, one of my funniest moments, actually, I remember I was working at the park, and somebody came, you know, somebody's wandering around, a guest, and they look quite lost. And obviously in your training, you're taught, you know, to sort of go up and say, are you okay? Can I help you find something? So I went up and said, you know, are you looking for anything? And she's like, yeah, where's the Minions? And I was like, that's it, Universal.
And
she just went white, and I was like, it's absolutely fine, like nobody here is gonna sort of write you up. But no, that was really funny. But no, definitely do Universal.
I do judge people walking around Walt Disney World in a Harry Potter t-shirt.
Oh yeah,
if I see everybody, I'm like, I'm judging you. But although I do the same thing if I go to Universal and I'm putting my magic band on, like, yeah, people are gonna be judging me.
Exactly.
You know, you can't use that here. I know, but it's just gone. So absolutely. Is there anything you don't like about Disney World?
The pin trading, is that still happening?
Oh, that is happening more than ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I really love a lot of the pin badges. Like, I think they're super cute, you know, and you can like pop them on your jacket or whatever. But I think just some people take it maybe a touch too far and are a touch too old to be, you know, sort of competing with children. Yeah, exactly. So I would say that was the main thing. It was really huge when I was there, and just a bit insane. But
is there anything you miss? Is there any attractions that they've got rid of since that you go, oh, I wish they'd have kept that, or I missed that?
What, any attractions? I'll tell you one thing they got rid of that I actually, this was such a lucky break. So when I went back in 2016, it was sort of like quite a big trip back, you know, I sort of really wanted to go back. And there was a small cafe in Hollywood Studios called Writer's Stop.
Yes.
And it was just like a little coffee spot, and mostly people came in to use the AC. And they had a carrot cake cookie, and it was unreal. Unreal. And I remember for 4 years from working there to wanting to go back, I was like, I have to have this carrot cake cookie. This has to be the first thing I do when I get back. So we went, got to the park, Hollywood Studios, straight to the back corner, went to Writer's Stop, was still open. But I'd seen on a Disney blog like the week before that they were like, oh, Writer's Stop is due to close. And I was kind of like, oh, it's not really surprising. And it's the only place in Walt Disney World that sells the carrot cake cookie. And I was like, what? So I rearranged my whole plan to get there, to get that cookie. And I think bought three of them, cost me like $15. But I was just like, I was honestly devastated. I was like, I can't believe you're closing. I can't believe you're getting rid of this place. And she was just like, yeah, it's a shame. I was like, it's more than a shame. Like,
it's an outrage. But I do think that carrot cake cookie, because of the popular demand,
is
I
it
think
back?
They, yeah, in the Starbucks.
Oh.
You know, the Starbucks, as you're going to Hollywood Studios, as you're walking down, it's on your right.
Oh, that is such good news. I had no
idea. Carrot cake cookies in there.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Which, because I really like that as well, but it's not really a cookie, is it?
No, it's definitely like a half a slice of cake. Yeah.
It's just a massive cake.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah, I see why you like it.
Oh, so good.
Next year then? You think you're going back?
Hopefully, yeah. So actually, my friend was in Florida. She has family in Florida, and she was there, but the parks all closed because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
So she was saying that we absolutely have to go next year. And I was like, well, you know, I'm up for that. So that
yeah, you don't ask me twice.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to next year,
absolutely,
then.
Absolutely.
Lovely chatting to you. Thanks for your stories.
No
Thanks
worries.
For your memories.
Thank you.
And have a magical day.
And you.
I'm guessing, how many times have you said that when you were working there?
Oh, yeah. Have a great day. Have a great day. That was my go-to. And then every now and again, it'd be like, have a magical day.
If you've got lots of Walt Disney World memories that you'd like to share, then get in touch. You can be a podcast guest. You don't need to come into the studio. You just do it from the comfort of your own home. If you love talking Walt Disney World, then why not talk to me about it? We can share our memories together. Just get in touch with me. Send me a message either on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter. Look for @PodMagical. Give us a like, send me a message. You could be on the podcast one week talking about Walt Disney World, sharing your tips and sharing your memories. This week's tip of the week, Andy's top tip of the week. If you want to meet Mickey and Minnie together, there is only one place you can do that, and that is over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's the only place where you can get a picture with Mickey and Minnie together in their little safari suits. They've been on a little expedition. There's a big map behind them. Used to be able to meet them together when it was Mickey's 90th birthday over at Magic Kingdom. They don't do that meet and greet anymore. So if you want your picture with both Mickey and Minnie together, and bear in mind they are sometimes in character buffets, they are together, but you can't get a picture with them together. For some reason, they don't allow it. If you want a picture with Mickey and Minnie and you, both of you, all of you, Animal Kingdom is the only place you can get it, and you can get a fast pass for that attraction. If you've got any top tips of your own, or maybe you've got that Disney Plus recommendation, what should we be watching on Disney Plus? Do give me a shout. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at PodMagical. Don't forget, there is a brand new episode every Friday. Yeah, we might not be able to go to Walt Disney World at the minute, but we can fill our time by talking about it and sharing the magic. So make sure you've hit that subscribe button. Tell your friends about it as well. If you've got friends who love Walt Disney World, or maybe they're thinking about going and they want to pick up some top tips, send them our way. Just share it from wherever you get your podcast. And you could leave us a 5-star review as well and hit that subscribe button, whether it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You know where we are. You know what to do. And we'll be back every Friday with a brand new podcast. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.